Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker. And I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Happy Friday and St. Patrick's Day weekend. How high on a day ranking on the day board would today be? A Friday where it's prematurely really warm and nice out heading into St. Patrick's Day weekend? That's
it,
up there.
It would rate very highly. It rates highly enough that I, on Tuesday, looking at the forecast, considered taking the day off, but I realized I'm leaving to go on a long vacation. I won't be here next Friday through the whole following week, and I thought that's a jerky thing to do. I can't do that, so I didn't do that.
I took last Friday
but
off.
I thought, well, sure, but whatever.
I didn't have a long vacation coming up.
You would just come back from a week off. But anyway, I just didn't want to do it, so I didn't. But I thought about it simply because it was tracking toward this day being as beautiful as it is. And as it turned out, I got to do what I really wanted to do anyway, not in its entirety. I mean, I played 9 holes instead of 18 holes this morning, and that worked out fine. So I didn't burn a day off. I didn't have to feel guilty, and I'm here, and it's beautiful out, and it's going to be pretty nice tomorrow.
My Weather Channel app, today 73, tomorrow 67, Sunday 66, Monday 38, Tuesday 60, Wednesday 70. Make up your mind?
Okay.
It's a new year, a chance to do things differently on the golf course, whatever that might be.
Yep.
A grip change, new clubs, new clothes, whatever it is. And maybe for you, I would, you know, politely suggest a new attitude when it comes to the fans. Just give them a little bit more. Who is out there on a Friday morning watching you play 9 holes? These people have their own lives. They're out there packing the galleries, and, you know, you make a putt and nothing. And I just, I don't know. I feel like you're not that guy, really. You're a nice guy. You should be the one, even if it's that you see it everybody's doing now, that half wave.
You have no idea how much I have ripped off your whole rep when it comes to the golfing.
Oh, really? So you are doing this?
I was playing by myself today.
Let's go.
Almost.
I want video.
Out of sight of. I saw some dog walkers. I did see a group I played with, or one man I played with a lot last year, right as I was finishing up. They were going out on 11 as I was walking up 18, and those fairways are right next to one another, and we recognized one another from across the way and had a moment there. So I did see a couple of other groups, but mostly there was no one within eye shot of me or eye of they all day. And I mean, all day. It was 90 minutes. I mean, it's 9 holes at Delaware Park by myself, so it's pretty quick.
When you play like you do, it's fast.
But you better believe I tipped my hat after I parred the first 3 holes.
Didn't you make it look, though, like you just had to adjust your hat? Or did you actually, you know, hang in, like hold the pose for a few seconds?
I went in on the full, like 3 little tugs at the brim.
I think the tipping point
is that
3 tugs at the brim?
Yeah. 3, 1, 2, 3.
Did you like let go and then back on?
No. But
is this 3 tugs at the brim?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I don't have a hat on, sadly, to demonstrate this for our audience on Twitch.
No, you don't need a hat. We got it.
I mean the Twitch.
We got it. The tipping point is if it can't be just something you're doing naturally. Like it can't be just you're adjusting your hat, or say you sort of raise the putter to, you know, in your mind you're like thanking the galleries, you sort of raise your putter, but it could just be that you're just sort of, just sort of a natural movement.
I did stop short of pointing at the balls it was going in and then pointing at them. That's a little too showy for me. I like to be a little more understated than that, so I did not go to that. Not that I've ever seen you even do that, but I
never make a putt.
I did acknowledge the nobody that was watching today numerous times. Not numerous, like 3 times. I had 3 pars. They were the first 3 holes I played of the year, and then I bogeyed or double bogeyed my way.
And then you parred the last 2. You had 5 pars in 9 holes your first time out. Come on. That's pretty good, no matter where you're playing. The half wave, is that the way you describe that now, where you see, like, I just saw Sepp Straka make a putt, and the crowd starts to applaud, and he sort of comes up to his waist, and his hand is sort of, like, horizontal, parallel to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the ball out of the cup. Maybe you do that a second time. That's what I like. I like that. I like the half wave, take the ball out. Than the second half wave. And, you know, if I'm feeling really good, I'll go to the Sluman.
What is the Sluman?
The Sluman is, this goes back many years, Jeff Sluman, where you make your putt of any length, really, but better if it's longer, and you reach in and you pick the ball out from the hole, like your fingers are in the Spock position.
Okay, sure, yeah.
And you sort of pick the ball out, grabbing it between your ring finger and your middle finger, and you hold it there, and then with the ball in your hand, then it's like pointer finger and thumb to the brim, and the ball is still there.
A little harder to get the ball out of the hole with that Spock configuration if you generally are leaving flags in.
Yeah, I
feel like it's a little high, and then that's become very. Especially,
I don't like the flag in,
especially today by myself. Like I'm not. I mean, I'm just. You know, I didn't get out there until 10:30. I didn't want to, so I just raced through it.
Really. But they did have flags.
Yeah, they're open. Yeah.
Okay.
Not taking tee times, but they're open. So we'll see what tomorrow morning brings.
Are they taking money?
They are taking money.
Okay,
yes,
they're open then.
Money.
Yeah. Because if they weren't taking money, they're
open
not
for
open.
Business. And I'm very excited. I posted on Twitter. Did you see my golf tweet today?
There were ball markers.
Ball markers. Those are new. The first time I've seen them, you know, at the counter there in the little clubhouse. And I bought 2 of those on my way home. When I checked in, my wallet was in my bag and it was out front. And I just said, I'm going to come back for these. So I did on my way out the door. And I'm excited because I'd had for a long time a little magnet ball marker from a U.S. Open that was played at Olympia Fields. Is that San Francisco?
Olympic.
Olympic.
is San Francisco.
Okay, Olympic it was.
Olympic Club.
I had, yeah, the Olympic Club. And it was nice. Had to, like, one side had the year, the other side had the club's insignia with the, you know, the open, whatever their graphic was for that. And it was a little ball mark fixer. And bit by bit, I lost the magnet with the year on the back. Then I lost the ball marker, the tool itself. But I still had that Olympic Club ball marker that I carried around in my pocket. And last year, I lost that. So, and I realized that today when I got my stuff out to get ready to go play. And so how convenient that the place I play all the time has these really cool little customized ball markers because I needed new ball markers.
Right on time for you.
Yeah, perfect. So
what are the goals this year? You've broken 80 numerous times. Shoot in the 60s?
I don't know about
this. Is that a goal?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess close enough.
That's serious stuff.
I got to last year fooling around with trying to shoot even par at Delaware. I think sometime in July last year, I posted a 73, and that's when I started thinking, I could do this. I should really strive to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few weeks later, I shot a 71.
Well,
par is 70. So, I mean, I was very close, but I don't think I shot below 75 again the rest of the year. Like, I just didn't. That was my peak, and I couldn't get closer than that. But I think I still want to pick up there. Because breaking 80, like today I shot 40 for 9, so right around 80.
First time out.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tough. You know, you're not getting any kind of roll. The greens are very, very slow and kind of bumpy, and it's, you know, it's rough. Excuse time already. You ready? But I'm going to be shooting for that. I'd like to, if I play 65 rounds of golf, almost all of them there, which is what I did last year, I'm going to hope that I am able to get there once. So we'll see how that goes. I'm also trying to hold off my kid because Owen, this is his fourth season now playing, and we've done quite a bit of simulator stuff this offseason, and he's played – I mean, he's working on the morning show, so he's out of here at whatever time. He's already played four times.
That's the best shift for golfing.
And he has beaten me already. Like last year, I think he beat me maybe twice out of the 40 or 50 times we played together. So it's not unprecedented that he will score better than me.
He and I played a match against you.
But I feel like he's gonna blow by me this year. Like he's getting better. He's a big dude, and his swing, he's really ripping the ball.
His slot there, so he's working somewhere else too. But this is like my summer of love in Rochester. That morning show shift, and then single, with enough money to do it, and some hookups, you know, different courses. I posted 90 rounds in the year 2000, like officially.
Right.
And that does not include with the radio station at the time, like a weekly Monday scramble. Like most Mondays I was playing in a charity event. Again, like get out of work at 9 and then just roll out there. It's often, sometimes playing 36. So all those scrambles plus 90 official rounds, and it's probably still this way. It's been a long time since I've kept a handicap, but where it's only like a few months of the year where you can actually post a score.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Like today you can't post a score, right?
What's funny is I knew I played last year on March the 5th because the app, the USG, whatever, the US Gin or the whatever gin. It's called, I went back, like, how soon did we play last year? And I had a score posted for March 5th last year. The guy in the clubhouse today told me they did not open until the end of March last year. So I guess, you know, we must have just, whatever. They generally are fine with that. But today I went to post my 9-hole score in there, and it said, you know, the course you played is not eligible for scores to be posted yet.
Okay.
Which was weird to me because it's a week, 10 days later than last year, and I posted a score, and they weren't open then either. Anyway, whatever. So I'm not going to get credit for this great 40 I shot today.
Except from, you know, the listeners who will line up to tell you. And, of course, the people who are out there watching that and following
all,
your group.
That saw it all live in person.
Following
that,
your group.
That is right.
Just give them, you know, give them. You don't have to go as far as I will do on occasion, which is make like a phone gesture, thumb to my ear, pinky finger to my mouth, and then do the pound sign. Like, I'll get your number later. That's really sort of lived out its usefulness now. I mean, you don't really do that anymore. But always fun to engage with the crowd at these early season.
So goals
events.
Are, you know, even an even par round. I hope it's still out there for me, and try to at least be competitive with my kid, because I just have a feeling he's going to be posting really low scores all year.
Good goal.
You know, we'll see, but his game looks like it's in really good shape. So, and I'm not just trying to, like, you know, set myself up for failure here. Like, I just think he's been getting better. He's obviously a lot younger than me. I'm a year older. We'll see how it goes. But I'm so excited. I really, really am.
Great to have a warm weekend.
It really
is. Tomorrow might be wet.
Not till later in the day, I think.
Okay.
So we're going to go early and hopefully get it in.
Okay.
We'll see. But I know there is rain in the forecast. So.
Creeping shorts day today. I mean, let's go. Creeping toward the virtual end of free agency. Like, it's been a fun week. Rumors last weekend and reports, you know, stuff last week at this time. Then Monday officially. And now, it's not, though, that everybody is taken. Like, a question about what, if there's anything else you'd want the Bills to do, can be asked. Corner, right? We don't have Douglas resolution yet, do we?
No, he's not signed. I guess I was just 2 days early on Dane Jackson, as it turns out.
Dane Jackson, never wrong, just early.
Yep.
Should we want Douglas?
Not really. It depends on the price and the term and all that. And I would think that's all going down as he sits here waiting. It doesn't have to be that, but that's what it feels like to me. Like, if somebody was going to make him a deal that he really liked, the Bills or anyone else, that would have happened already. And it hasn't. So if the price is right, and there is no better idea, then I don't want to be close to it, but I liked the idea of trying to find their way to getting better there, and I don't think Dane Jackson accomplishes that, and keeping Douglas certainly I don't think accomplishes that, unless you want to somehow explain to me how he'll be better than he was last year. I don't think he had a very good year. So I'm not eager to do that. It feels like just sort of settling for it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, we talked about Stephon Gilmore a little bit yesterday with Sal, I think.
A little bit.
Asante Samuel Jr. is out there, but there seems to be some medical concern. And, you know, those don't have to necessarily be better ideas than Rasul Douglas.
Trey White.
What they are is different. Trey White's another one that Sal brought up yesterday. But nothing to me. I don't think that there's a guy they could sign that I would then think, all right, they're definitely not drafting a corner at 30. I'm not convinced they are going to, but to me, I think I said this a couple of days ago when I thought Dane Jackson had signed already, that, okay, that gives you a guy and it's some familiarity, and Douglas would be the same thing, maybe just at a tier above Dane Jackson. But it should not at all remove the need to get a guy in here that can be opposite Christian Benford on a rookie contract moving forward. Like, I think they need to supplement what they have. And as much as there are needs elsewhere, I don't feel great about the corner opposite Benford right now. I think it's the most glaring need on the roster still right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. We've spent a lot of time on defensive tackles. But in terms of the draft, which you, needless to say, I suppose, what you want to be able to do there, and I know this is in the wake of Kyer Elam's arrival and then departure, is have somebody to go along with, you know, a second contract, like Trey White was. You're going for that. Trey White was the 27th pick, right? His number. in the first round after the trade with Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So that's what free agency is not going to afford you that. You could find somebody that can pass as a starter this year, and that's fine. You're trying to win a championship, and that might be best even with what the risks come, what the risks are for, you know, a rookie. But that's what you want to be able to do there is short and long term. And free agency is more just like for a couple of years, whoever it would be.
Yeah, all over already they've passed, like the defensive tackle, Ogunjobi, 1 year. Bosa, 1 year. So the need at tackle and end, I think, is still, it's just as valid to me that you could argue and see them pick one of those positions at 30 and say, like, that addresses a need. But Ogunjobi is here, and I expect to play a part in the rotation. Daquan Jones, by the way, is still here. Part of the defensive tackle conversation, at least from my end, has been with the expectation that they might want to move on from him, so go replace him in free agency and or the draft. Bosa, 1 year. So you've got guys there that are going to take those spots that I think are above what they have at second corner right now, if that makes sense. So I still, that's why I say corner still, for me, would be prioritized when you're looking at the draft. Again, not knowing how it's going to fall or, you know, how they have the prospects stacked and all of that.
Man, Benford's leverage is pretty good.
Yes, it is.
Right? What he has basically graded out to be as a player, Elam is gone, if that even mattered. Douglas is maybe gone. Like, they, come on, they really need him. And I'm not saying they won't sign him. We talk about Cook all the time, though. You know, Benford, similar. And he's probably, it's probably time for a big contract for him. So he does have some pretty good leverage, Benford, with the Bills. Laviska Shenault happened last night. And go on, talk slower. Laviska Shenault. He's like, you know, we had our fun with Claypool. Was that crazy in retrospect? That here's Chase Claypool last year. The Big Maple, right, was his?
Mapletron.
Big Maple's a basketball player? Mapletron.
Mapletron.
Okay. So, tools.
Right.
High draft capital. Didn't work out. Okay, let's try it. Not only, I mean, he had an injury, like, right away in whenever that was, July or August, but gets released by the Bills and ends up nowhere. Like, I don't think he ever signed anywhere.
No, I don't think so. Did you just ask, was that silly, stupid? What?
No, I'm just like, was it, yeah, okay, whatever the word was.
Yeah.
In retrospect, was it kind of a lot to get excited about him? I don't think it was. I don't regret it.
That's why I wanted to make sure, like, what, you know, how you were describing that. I don't think it's ever stupid to hope that a guy that has flashed can show up and, you know, it's your turn to try it on and see if you can find a way to the untapped potential. I would never say it's, you know, ridiculous, silly to hope for that. To count on it is another thing. And, you know, I think whenever we talked about it, it was, I feel like, cloaked in hope, not expectation. And a player like Shenault is firmly in the same classification to me. He feels even more so than a guy like Claypool, sort of like, I don't know if folk hero fits, but like, he's got his fans. Like, there's always been, even going back to his draft year, like this, a movement, a portion of the football world that analyzes it, whether it's fantasy or data, whatever. Like, this guy's got tools. He'll fit. I saw a Trapassi.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So, tweet last night when this was learned it was happening, that last year, Chenault was his favorite free agent idea for the Bills.
All right.
Like, so he's always had like these corners of football, again, analysis that thought, this guy, it should happen. Look at him. Watch him with the ball in his hands. It's got to work. And then it just never really does. And then he's on to say, you know, he's been a million places. He's still a pretty young guy.
Yep.
So, like, I'm totally here for take a shot at it. You know, like, I'm not, but my expectation sitting here today is that he probably won't make it.
Well, that probably would be the odds-on prediction.
But I'm not going to roll my eyes at you if you want to call us or send me a message on the Twitch that says, like, you know, I remember him at Colorado, and I think okay, like, you might be right. You know, teams do these things for a reason. So take your shot, you know? I've seen a lot of reference to his return ability, but he's exclusively been only a kickoff return guy. And I think that hurts him here. Because if the Bills wanted to keep all guys, and now the rules are changing, so maybe just being a kickoff return guy, or they might change, excuse me, I shouldn't rush to it, but there was talk about the touchback coming to the 35, therefore more balls in play. So maybe you might prioritize that more highly than you have in the past. But like, they're keeping they kept a corner last year to return both punts and kickoffs. And the guy only played corner in the games that didn't even matter. I think if you only do one of those two.
You mean Codrington?
Codrington, right. Okay. I think if you only do one of those two, like Chenault, he's not had a single punt return in his NFL career. And at this point, I'm going to assume that this disqualifies him from being a punt returner. Because with the way his career is gone, if he wanted to do that or was thought to be able to do that, I think that would have already happened. Right, to try to increase his value, you would have seen him do it, and it just has never happened. He hasn't returned a single punt in the NFL.
Second round pick,
so
in 2020,
I think he's got to win a job as a receiver well enough to justify being here for just kick returns if he can't return punts. Like, he's not going to beat out Codrington based on that, I don't think.
Yeah, he was good.
Unless, you know, they want to pivot and have, I don't know, Shakir, who's basically their number one receiver, return punts, which they did when Codrington wasn't available, and I wouldn't expect them to want to do that either. So I think Chenault's got to beat out somebody, Curtis Samuel, maybe. I don't know. He's got to beat out somebody to make the team as a receiver, I think, because he doesn't return both kicks and punts.
That'll be tough.
Yes.
803-0550. What, if anything, if nothing, you can, you know, just chill. If there's anything you think the Bills should still be trying to do in free agency, maybe corner is most obvious, let us know. We'll be looking for your calls after the break. Happy Friday. Beautiful and warm out. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
I've been blessed. I've been lucky enough to play with Justin, and I'm extremely thankful for the Chargers from being drafted there and playing there for my 4 years, and Coach Staley and Tom Telesco and then Joe Ortiz and Coach Harbaugh. Playing with Herbo has got me to this point, and now I'm blessed enough to play with Josh Allen. So I'm excited to get to work. You know, I've only ever played with Justin, so you can imagine the excitement to see what it's going to be like to play with Josh and to play with this team and this organization.
You can hear it there at the end. Organization, Joshua Palmer.
Canadian heritage.
There it is.
Good catch.
Sal pointed out to us yesterday that he and Joey Bosa went to the same high school in Florida. But I read that Palmer moved to Florida when he was 15. It's like he said, business decision.
Okay.
To get eyeballs.
Right.
And I guess it worked.
I guess so, too, because here he is.
Funny, when I want people to look at me, I go to Oakville. I don't know if that works. It doesn't. Just the thought of it. Just threw it out there. Here's Andrew with us. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. Thank you for calling us.
First thing I want to just get out of the way, I am a huge fan of you guys. I've been listening. I'm 25 years old. I've been listening to you guys for probably around 11 or 12 years religiously. Bulldog, I haven't had the pleasure to be able to meet you, but Shope, I was able to meet you, I believe it was around 2 years ago at one of your kids' ball games. I was the pitcher, actually, for the Northtown Nationals, and I came up to you all nervously as I am even right now.
I remember, yes. That was in North Tonawanda. I remember that, yes, very well.
Yes, so I just wanted to be able to mention that.
Well, thank you for listening for as long as you have. Appreciate
so this guy, Bulldog, was actually pitching in like an adult game. And my son was there with his youth team. They weren't against each other.
Okay, right. I was having trouble rectifying right. The ages there, but all right.
I just felt like I needed to point that out.
Right, that makes sense.
I don't think you ever faced my son, Andrew. Pretty sure.
Not that I can at least recall.
Okay.
But the question that I wanted to be able to get to was, what do we think about the idea for Rasul Douglas just transferring over back to safety, where he was very successful? I wouldn't say with the Eagles, where he struggled, but with the Packers, where we originally got him before he transferred to corner. The safety market is obviously a lot cheaper than the corner market, and we could reduce the amount of money paying him and obviously still go after that first-round corner. I believe that Rasul, while he's lost a lot of his speed and probably luster for the jump on the ball, has a very high IQ and would be a great center fielder in the back of the zone comparatively to what we've had in the past.
I'm not inclined to just disagree with the idea of him changing positions immediately. Often I am. Like, when people like, oh, let's make Ristolainen into a winger. Like, cut it out. Stop trying so hard.
When did that ever work last?
I don't know. So I'm not annoyed by that at all. I'm not annoyed in general with any of this. I think they're kind of close to all set at safety, like depth-wise. And so... And I would consider Douglas to be the same if you were to transition him there, because you'd be trying that out. They brought Hamlin back. They brought Forrest in from Washington. They've got Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp. I'm done. I don't know. Like, I don't think they're even – I'd be stunned. I love this Nick Emmanuel from South Carolina. I'd be stunned if they drafted him at 30 because of the point I'm making. I think they've got probably what – you might expect to be their four safeties already here, and that doesn't even include Cam Lewis, who can swing back there if you need him to. So I don't see a need to push a if Douglas were under contract still and they saw deterioration in his ability to play corner at the level they want and wanted to replace him but thought he still could have some value as a safety, then I might say, yeah, you should try that. Bringing him in to experiment with that, I wouldn't be a fan of the idea.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, I don't think they would need to do it either, but it's clever. 803-0550 is the number. Josh Norris is injured. Or has been the whole time.
The football analyst?
I don't know his status.
Sorry. Yeah, Josh Norris is injured. Great.
I don't think that comes as any surprise to people inside, maybe?
Probably not. That is his history, and that's, you know, it's not even been a week. Well, it's been a week, exactly a week, actually. It was before 3 o'clock last Friday that they made that transaction official. And, yeah. So, that coupled with, look, it's only one television show, and it's only been 3 games, but I was watching the Leafs and the Panthers last night. It was the TSN, the big game, so like the number one announcing crew and the panel studio show with James Duthie and a group of analysts up there. Marty Baron was sitting in for Jeff O'Neill, who's normally on that show, so it was nice to see Marty in that spot. And their first intermission, one of the subjects they discussed, might have been like in the form of a quiz, was after Dylan Cousins, who's had the second biggest impact of all the players moved at the trade deadline? Like, just assuming that everyone would say, if you just asked the general question, who's had the biggest impact? Dylan Cousins, duh. So he's through 3 games, he scored 2 goals already, had an assist, I think, last night. That's in your face.
Can I just
come on?
Finish the point. I'm sorry.
It doesn't have to mean anything. It's such a small sample of games, but it was just a very Sabre fan moment. You know how many Sabres fans would have been watching that telecast last night. I will gravitate to that game with that broadcast crew almost any time because it's always usually good teams, good game, and a great broadcast. And so I'm there, and I get that, like, of course.
I would really love to know if there were some way to measure the Sabres fans' interest in all of this right now. You know, you've said a few times how repetitive it all has been. And when you've gotten loose on them, you notice that nobody responds to you.
Yeah.
And that seems like that's significant. It has to be true. I mean, there's no question that when they're really good, not that it's happened in a decade and a half, but when they're really good, then there's just a lot more people engaging on them. That's just sort of, that's normal. So likewise,
yeah.
When it's like this, it would be fewer. And when it's like this for so long,
right.
That many fewer still. But I don't know how I would really measure that. I wouldn't do it by, and you didn't say we should, how many people watch the Leafs and Panthers play. I mean, you've got diehard hockey fans like yourself that will watch a game most nights, you know, even if the Sabres are not in it. But I got to think, and maybe this is just what I'm saying because it's me, but that a lot of people have walked away, at least for now. And also, is this wrong? I want to see Cousins kill it.
Sure.
I mean,
well,
I kind of do. I don't know what it's going
to
take.
I want my sure back because I'm not. It annoyed me to see that last night. I'm not so dead inside that it didn't annoy me. So I don't want to say sure to wanting him to succeed. I'm tired of them looking like a clown car all the time.
I know, but so am I. I feel like the only thing that can change anything is if Terry Pegula splashes some water on his face, you know, whatever it is, and sort of figures out that his only, not that it's literally true, but it certainly seems this way, his only chance, his only hope in getting them out of the ditch is to put a serious hockey lifer executive in place and then just sit back. Because you don't want the owner involved and, you know, Kevin Adams has said how he is involved, and I think Adams kind of says it in a way that feels like it makes it all look better, because there are people who think, you know, where's Terry? But I don't really want him in the scouting meetings, you know? Like, that's kind of what Adams has said he is involved in. Anyway, just the credibility is lacking.
I don't need him flying into Montreal to give the team a pep talk.
No. You, what anymore, what feels like a move that would work. Replacing Kevin Adams with yet another assistant somewhere that isn't expensive and, you know, is kind of ready for an NHL GM job, like someone from somewhere else in the league, that won't do it. It's got to be like one of those names.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of whether Pegula wants to do that. It's not, can't be a question of whether he can afford to do that. Of course he can afford to do that. He just hasn't wanted to do that. And the Cousins thing has maybe a chance to be not a catalyst necessarily, but the last straw. Like if he goes to Ottawa, not Vegas or Florida, if he goes to Ottawa and kind of lights it up and they're good and it's like Ottawa, even Ottawa now, at least they've had partners in this sort of misery, mm-hmm. including Ottawa, then who knows what the thing will be, if there ever is going to be a thing. But they're at a place where, with respect to the people in there, they could make, this has happened already for like 3 years, they could make moves that, I get it. I like this idea. Okay, I get it. And still, like, how far does that get you as a fan? It's more just, doesn't matter. And I don't know what changes this. He has some epiphany or something or what, but Dylan Cousins being yet another once promising Sabre that gets traded and then makes it. I don't know. I feel like I want that to happen.
Right. Well, we'll see about the making it. It's been a week. It's been three games. Casey Mittelstadt got off to a good enough start with Colorado last year and continued it through their playoffs that he got a contract extension and got traded out of there at this deadline because it was busting and not working. So it takes, you know, and you're not saying different. You're going to need more time than this. That's most of the feedback I got last night when I saw this and tweeted about it last night. If Sabres fans found out about it, maybe largely, not to pat myself on the back, they found out about it because of me. They were watching the game, but if they follow me on Twitter, I tweeted about it, like, look at this. And a lot of what I got was, yeah, Casey got off to a good start too. And that's right, he did. So we'll see how it goes long term, but it's just at every turn, there's just an opportunity to sort of put your head in your hands.
Cousins was, when he peaked and got his contract, better than Mittelstadt ever was. Agree?
100%.
So he's somebody. I never was betting on Mittelstadt. Like that, for as much credit as the Sabres got and give themselves for the hockey trade, I don't think Mittelstadt was very good. I don't think Byram is very good. Like just sort of two guys that are young and have had flashes and fit the other team's needs a little better, but I wouldn't want to pay either one. I mean, are they going to pay Byram to like a big, what a disaster that would be. But it's kind of thing maybe they would do because maybe he likes it. Around maybe he's happy. I don't know. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Adam Krautwurst, Bulldog, it's been a while.
Yes.
I don't know about you and he, like sort of off site. Maybe you're hanging out a lot, but it's been a while since we've talked to Adam on the show. That'll be it for today. Brian Koziol later on. We'll talk some golf with Brian. He's got his Tee to Green show on WGR tomorrow morning. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Love it. Takes me back, this song.
To where?
To one of my first concerts.
This is the Captain and Tennille?
That was my first concert and yours, right?
Yes.
That's so funny.
The CNE Grandstand, the Captain and Tennille, were special guests of the band America.
Oh yeah, America.
That was the show. During the Canadian National Exhibition, the five of us, two sisters and my folks and me.
I think mine was Melody Fair. Do you know where the guys from America were born?
I never have
cared about them.
I mean, I liked those songs.
Ventura Highway.
But for a band that I, you know, can put a stake in the ground and say this is the first live concert I ever really attended, at least that I remember. We probably went to other stuff, country music stuff, that I just don't recall. I've never done any work on them. I've never sat with one of their records in my hands. I've never looked at their Wikipedia page, so I don't know anything about them.
I saw an interview with them once. They're born in London.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes. Army kids, maybe?
Yeah,
parents stationed in London, and they were born in London, or at least one of them. Maybe both. I think both.
Don't ask me for any confirmation on any of this.
All right, just trying to keep the streak going. A little music trivia with no back checks, making no effort to find out to make sure it's right.
I do like. I think occasionally my Facebook feed. Yeah, I don't need to tell anyone how that works. Like, you click on stuff, and so then you get more of it. And a lot of what I see in my Facebook feed, aside from extremely astute and borderline brilliant takes on politics, is chord charts, like lyrics, and like how to play songs on the guitar, basically. And I think I've got maybe Sister Golden Hair somewhere saved.
Mm-hmm.
If not... Horse with No Name. I don't know, like any one of those songs, or maybe both, I would have seen one day scrolling through Facebook and just taken a screenshot of it. Like, I might want to someday sit down and learn how to play that. Probably not that hard, okay. So I probably have it stashed away somewhere.
I think you might want to try the very beginning of Ventura Highway. Starts with a guitar melody. Yeah, it's great. That, you know, one idea. You had your own ideas.
I know those, the two songs I mentioned, better than... I know I've heard Ventura Highway, but I can't hum it for you right now.
Okay.
It starts
with the guitar.
The other two I could bang out for you right now.
Looks like one of them is from... should we get to that point? Should we have that, everybody? Should we have Bulldog playing America songs? Another time. Seattle is the betting favorite for Cooper Kupp. According to Bet Online, he's from Washington State. He played in Washington. He played Eastern Washington, I think it was, college football. So maybe that's why. But I also saw a report that he was visiting Seattle, and they kind of need somebody.
Yeah, they do.
Trading Metcalf and releasing Tyler Lockett.
I've not seen anything since this morning, but as many as five teams may be interested, but initially... balking at his ask of $12 to $14 million a year, I think is what I read this morning.
Mm.
Also kind of curious that there's reporting that the Vikings are part of the holdup, maybe the reason for the holdup on Aaron Rodgers making a decision, because he's waiting to find out if they want him.
Ugh.
Which, Minnesota, what are you trying to do to yourselves? You're good.
They should want a veteran in there, but not him.
No. Right.
No. Have some pride.
Good.
You've been losing to him for so long with Green Bay. Like, just have some pride. No. We are not taking you. I know you're desperate. We're going to pick we're better than you now. We're going to pick somebody else. Thank you anyway. Goodbye. Maybe they're just, hopefully, I think if you don't like Rodgers, they'd just be pretending to have interest in him.
Just jerking
but not
him
really.
Around. That would be great. Yeah. Because that would easily be the best team that's been mentioned as it pertains to him. I mean, they're better than Pittsburgh and way better than the Giants, I think, moving forward. But, oh my gosh, to not bring Darnold back, and I didn't want to do that either. This is a way worse idea than even that. I mean, you drafted the kid, rookie contract, let's get busy living here.
Worse idea and probably more expensive.
Yeah.
I think, for some reason. We'll see what ends up happening with Rodgers. Right. Next up, Adam Krautwurst. We'll talk some Bills and some fantasy stuff with him. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on this sunny, warm Friday, St. Patrick's Day weekend. This is WGR.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.